This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brilbeck.
And a good Wednesday morning, August 26, 2026. It's 77 degrees under partly sunny skies at 7:06. It's the day after Election Day, so a lot of us are pretty exhausted this morning. People celebrating, some people sulking, a lot of us covering just and watching who the winners are, who the losers were, and trying to make some kind of sense of the numbers. So we've got a whole bunch we want to talk about this morning as far as that goes. Election Day is now over. We now know who the next likely governor of Oklahoma will be. We'll tell you who won by this razor-thin margin. Republican voters also cast their vote for the guy they want to be the next state education superintendent. We'll have details on that one. A state question to enshrine voter IDs in the state constitution passes. What that means coming up. Oklahomans receiving SNAP benefits are facing longer lines. We'll tell you why. Governor Kevin Stitt has a beef with one of the president's recent decisions and is setting up a commission to protect cattle producers. A local daycare provider is accused of abusing children entrusted to her, what police say she did. Mustangs Western Days, just around the corner, what you can expect. And it's a Grift Busters Wednesday. Tara Harden with the State Department of Securities is in Nashville, learning about the latest scams designed to separate you from your hard-earned cash. We'll be talking with her about what she's learning out there. Plus, we'll take your calls and comments at 405-608-4377. But first, your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Mike Mazie has won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma governor, narrowly defeating Attorney General Gettner Drummond with a 50.3% margin of the vote. About 2,000 votes separated the candidates in Tuesday's runoff. Mazie, backed by President Donald Trump, celebrated with supporters in his hometown of Tulsa and credited his faith, voters, and his campaign team, promising to remember his campaign promises.
After enjoying this night of celebration, however, we will move on to the general election in November. I will keep talking about my plan to create more growth and opportunity for our kids and our grandkids by making Oklahoma a no-income tax state and abolishing property taxes, seniors and veterans, launching a massive statewide literacy program so our students read at grade level, and securing the land of Oklahoma for the people of Oklahoma by chasing the Chinese money and the Mexican cartels out of here.
Mazie says he'll use three filters to guide his decisions as governor: the Bible, the Constitution, and can we afford it? Mazie now advances to the November election, where he'll face Democrat Cindy Munson and three independent candidates. Robert Franklin has won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma State Superintendent, defeating James Taylor in Tuesday's runoff. Franklin, a longtime Tulsa Technology Center administrator, held a sizable lead throughout the night. The race drew attention because of former Superintendent Ryan Walter's controversial tenure and Taylor's support for many of his policies. Franklin has taken some positions that drew criticism from conservatives, including supporting diversity, equity, and inclusion as biblical principles. Franklin now faces Democrat Jeanette Marshall in the November 3rd general election to determine Oklahoma's next state superintendent. Oklahoma voters have approved State Question 846, placing the state's voter ID requirement into the state constitution. Nearly 55% voted in favor, according to unofficial results. The measure does not change the types of identification voters can use. Current law requires an ID with a name matching voter registry, a photo, and an expiration date, unless it's a military ID, and it must be issued by either the U.S. government, Oklahoma, or a tribal government. Supporters say the measure strengthens Oklahoma's voter ID requirements, while critics argue that it was unnecessary because the state already has secure elections. Because it's now in the Constitution, changing the requirement would require another statewide vote. Oklahoma voters have rejected State Question 844, which would have given state lawmakers more control over how local governments and schools are reimbursed for property taxes lost through tax breaks for manufacturing and research facilities. Nearly 3 out of 4 voters opposed the measure. Supporters say the current system is outdated and costly, forcing lawmakers to cover reimbursement shortfalls with state spending. But education groups warned the state could put future funding at risk, particularly in communities with large manufacturing or data center projects. The issue is expected to return when lawmakers begin the 2027 legislative session come February. State Representative Kevin West has won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma Labor Commissioner, defeating fellow Representative John Pfeiffer with more than 58% of the vote. West now advances to the November 3rd general election, where he'll face Democrat Kevin Dawson and Libertarian Mike Hall. The winner will succeed term limited labor commissioner Leslie Osborne and oversee workplace safety, wage disputes, and occupational licensing. West has focused his campaign on expanding vocational education, improving workplace safety, and creating more training opportunities for Oklahoma workers. Bob Sullivan, meanwhile, won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma Insurance Commissioner, defeating Marty Quinn by more than 35,000 votes, according to an unofficial result. Sullivan now faces Democrat Craig McIntyre in the November 3rd general election. The winner will succeed Republican Glenn Mulready, who is term limited. The race comes as Oklahoma homeowners face some of the nation's highest insurance premiums, with one recent report putting the average annual cost at more than $5,000. Sullivan is a third-generation insurance professional, has made lowering premiums and increasing price transparency key parts of his campaign. Oklahoma County Manager Jessica Clayton has won the Republican runoff for District 3 County Commissioner, defeating Alex Warren with 63% of the vote. Clayton now faces Democrat Jennifer Mayo in the November 3rd general election. The race focused heavily on a proposed county sales tax to help finish up the new jail campus. Clayton supports the 0.4 cent per tax, while Warren opposed it. If approved, the tax would raise about $605 million over 25 years. District 3 includes Edmond, Deer Creek, Arcadia, Luther, and parts of Oklahoma City. Incumbent Jason Lowe, meanwhile, won the Democratic runoff for Oklahoma County Commissioner in District 1, defeating Kayla Baker with 68.6% of the vote. Lowe will take the seat because no Republican is running in the general election. Lowe opposed a proposed county sales tax to help finish the new jail, while Baker supported it. Voters will decide on the tax on November 3rd. District 1 includes parts of Oklahoma City, along with Dell City, Midwest City, The Village, Jones, Spencer, Nakoma Park, and other communities. Lowe says his priorities include roads, health care, mental health services, and public safety. It's 77 degrees under partly sunny skies at 7:13. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Oklahoma families seeking SNAP benefits are facing longer lines and delays as new federal requirements increase pressure on the state's DHS. Starting on October 2027, the states with high SNAP error rates could face financial penalties. Oklahoma's error rate is currently at about 11%, and State Auditor Cindy Bird says that could cost the state nearly $235 million if it isn't reduced below 6%. Hunger Free Oklahoma says the added paperwork and verification requirements are creating a backlog, with about 140,000 people losing SNAP benefits. DHS says it's adding overtime and working to process applications more accurately. A program helping homeless people in Norman earn money and get connected with housing and other services has ended because of a lack of funding. A Better Way Opportunity Knocks, launched last summer as a partnership between the City of Norman and Mental Health Association of Oklahoma. Participants were paid $65 per day for cleanup work while receiving help from case managers. The program served more than 230 people, helping some find jobs, housing, and treatment. It was funded through the opioid settlement money, but the city was not awarded a grant to continue it. Officials say they're exploring other funding options. Well, Governor Kevin Stitt has created a new Oklahoma Beef Industry Advisory Council following President Donald Trump's announcement of plans to sell imported beef at lower prices. The council, chaired by Agriculture Secretary Blaine Arthur, will make recommendations aimed at protecting Oklahoma cattle producers and strengthening the state's beef market. Stitt says Washington should focus on free market solutions rather than undercutting American ranchers. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association supports the move. Oklahoma is home to nearly 5 million cattle and calves, including about 2 million beef cows, making agriculture a major part of the state's economy. Well, two people are hospitalized after a police pursuit ended in a crash on Tuesday morning in northwest Oklahoma City. Police say officers attempted to stop a vehicle near Northwest 3rd and North Kentucky, but the driver took off, leading to a chase. The vehicle eventually crashed near Northwest 10th and North Blackwelder. Oklahoma City firefighters had to extricate both people from the wreckage. Police say both occupants were taken into custody and transported to a hospital for treatment. Their conditions are unknown, and police have not yet released their names. A 29-year-old Chickasha man has been sentenced to 40 years in federal prison for sexually exploiting children and possessing child pornography. The U.S. Attorney's Office says Brandon Scott Massey targeted multiple young victims over several years using Facebook while posing as a teenage boy to solicit sexually explicit images. Investigators say Massey joined groups intended for teenagers and coerced at least five minors into sending him images and videos. Massey pleaded guilty back in January. A federal judge sentenced him to 480 months in prison, followed by lifetime supervised release. A Moore Home daycare worker is facing three counts of child abuse involving infants in her care. The Cleveland County DA's office says Samantha Pearson, also known as Samantha Bailey, was arrested after investigators reviewed surveillance video. According to the probable cause affidavit, the video allegedly shows Pearson physically mistreating infants while they were in her care. Pearson is currently being held in custody on a $300,000 bond. The allegations have not yet been proven in court. Well, Mustangs Western Day is just around the corner. It's always the weekend right after Labor Day. And if you enjoy all things country, this is the celebration for you and your family. We'll tell you what to expect coming up right after the break. 77 degrees under partly sunny skies at 717. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Couple of construction issues to be aware of. May and Northwest Expressway eastbound, I-44 at Klassen and I-44 at Southwest 74th on the Kilpatrick-Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Please listen to me carefully. It is the absolute best time to buy a new Ford truck. Now Advance Country Ford in Guthrie. Get financing terms you can't beat, like your choice of 2.9% APR for 72 months, plus $1,000 toward your down payment, plus two-year premium maintenance, or 0% APR for 36 months, plus zero payments up to 90 days, plus $1,000 toward your down payment, plus two-year premium maintenance. And Advance Country Ford in Guthrie, you'll get the lowest price on your new Ford truck. Vance Country Ford, only 10 minutes north of Edmond on I-35, exit 153. Vance Auto Group, also in Woodward and in Miami. It's the Ford Summer Sales Event. Go to VanceAutoGroup.com to learn more.
Offers are through Ford Credit Financing with approved credit.
John Vance Auto Group.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
A possible trade war with Canada is heating up. We've got the Iran sanctions that could cripple their economy. There's a lot of news to navigate through the week. It's Eric Erickson. Listen to me live right here on Freedom 96.9, weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll dive into the news, tell you what I think about it, and take your phone calls at 877-973-7425. Again, it's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with your phone calls right here on Freedom 96.9.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
A good Wednesday morning, hump day. It's August 26th, 2026. Weather, it's going to be cooling off just a little bit from what we've seen for the past month. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine today. High going up to only 90 degrees, so break out those mittens and parkas. It's downright frigid out there. Partly cloudy and humid tonight with a low of 72 on Thursday. Mix of clouds and sun, high of 94. Then on Friday, mostly sunny, and we could see a bit of humidity throughout the day on Friday and a high of 96 degrees. 77 degrees and partly sunny at 721. Well, it's one of Mustang's biggest traditions, bringing families, friends, and thousands of visitors together for a weekend of food, fun, and Western flair. Western Days returns the full first weekend after Labor Day with a parade, rodeo, car show, live entertainment, a pancake breakfast, and Western Stampede Run. As many as 30,000 people have attended in the past, making it a major event for the Mustang community. Joining us now to talk about this year's Western Days, what's planned and what you can expect for you and your family, is Jeff Hopper. He's one of the organizers for Western Days. And Wes Glinsman, he's the CEO of the Mustang Chamber of Commerce. We were just talking a little bit off the air about this. My wife and I go pretty regularly for as long as we've been here. So, gosh, like 10 years now. I didn't realize this was the 50th anniversary.
It is, yeah. As you said, we'll have 25, 30,000 every year, and we expect this year to be just as big, if not bigger, you know, because of that. And that's one of the things that makes this thing great is the people that come back every year. They have a good time. They enjoy themselves, all the festivities, the park, the rodeo. And so we look forward to, you know, seeing not everybody, you know, not just everybody coming back, but a lot of new faces this year as well.
And we were kind of talking a bit again off the air about just how much Mustang and Yukon have grown even just in the past 4 or 5 years, and how many more people you're going to be expecting as a result.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I remember when, Jeff grew up in this area, and you can talk more about, you know, just the two were completely separate. I remember I moved here in 1990, and I remember going to high school in Yukon, and my teacher telling us we had to go to an event in Mustang, and you're going to wind down this little country road and then, you know, find the street with the horse hoof prints on it. And now it is. That whole area has grown up so much. We've had so much growth, both in the business community, housing, schools around there. And it's great. You know, we really do, you know, despite our sports rivalry, we do really play well with the UConn community. And so we'll have a lot of UConn people coming out, and we look forward to having them.
And I love seeing that. Jeff, kind of tell me about what we're expecting, because all 3 days are going to be very busy days. 2 days, 11th and 12th, going to be very busy days.
Yes. So we'll start on Friday night over at Town Center. We will have some entertainment, lots of vendors, food booths, food trucks. Then we'll roll into Friday night. We also have the rodeo.
Yep.
It's starting at 8 o'clock, and then Saturday morning we break it off with the pancake breakfast.
Yep.
And then we'll roll into the parade. As soon as the parade's over, back to Town Center. We've got, again, lots of vendor booths, food trucks, and at 4 o'clock, Super Freak.
Yep.
Is putting on a show, a free show from 4 to 7.
Which is pretty cool.
Super Freak is awesome.
That was, we were trying to tie into the 50th anniversary. So, like, what can we do that's going to hype 1976? And so disco band was the first thing that came to mind.
Nothing screams 1976 quite like Super Freak. So Friday night, the party generally goes pretty long. Talk to me a bit about that.
So Friday night, we have lots of different events over at Town Center. And it's, you know, 7, 8 o'clock, and then most people just roll across the street over to the rodeo.
Yep.
And we're, you know, till about 10 or 10:30 there.
And you guys have food trucks there, and I guess you're having a bunch more of the food trucks this year.
We're having a lot more food trucks this year, yes.
What can we expect there?
Wes?
All your favorite fried foods, as usual stuff. But
everything on a stick?
Exactly. Everything on a stick. Knock on wood, it'll be a little cooler, but we're prioritizing some drink stations and things like that.
Nice. So, good thinking.
A lot of different things we're having this year. And we're going to spread it out a little bit more. So we'll have the usual row right in front of Town Center, but we're going to be moving some over to the side over where the Mustang Car Club show is.
Yep.
So we'll have a little more food vendors spread out to make it easier to get to.
And the rodeo is always one of the bigger draws.
We will have 2,500, 3,000 people at the rodeo.
That's really cool.
It's one of the better attended rodeos around.
What are we going to be seeing at the rodeo?
All the usual events. It's an IPRA rodeo, so we're sanctioned by IPRA now. So saddle bronc, bareback, bull riding, team roping, steer wrestling, calf roping, barrel racing.
Everything Oklahoma.
Then we have a few things for the kids. We have mutton busting for the kids. And we'll do a calf scramble.
Nice.
So, calf scramble, there's usually, 600-800 kids in the arena chasing calves.
That's awesome.
So
they're going to sleep really well that night.
For their parents, I hope they do.
Also, you got the other car show. Talk to me a bit about that.
Yeah, so the Oklahoma Mustang Car Club puts that on every year, and it just continues to grow every year. It'll be over on the south side of Town Center, set up over there, and we encourage everybody to come out. Lots of Mustangs, lots of other classic cars out there, and if you're a car guy, it's a great or woman, it's a great event, and they do a really good show lineup over there. And like I said, the nice thing is it's right there next to everything else going on. If you're just wanting to come check out the cars, you can. But then it's right there next to where the Chuck Wagon Roundup's going to be, helicopter rides, all of our vendor booths, everything going on. It's all going to be right there in Wild Horse Park and right around Town Center.
Now, it's kind of deceptive because we're talking about the city of Mustang. It's not necessarily Ford Mustang cars only. But when you're saying Mustang Car Show, it sounds
correct.
Like we're talking about Ford Mustang.
It's a great natural tie-in, so it really works out well. We do a lot of work with the Mustang Club, and they put on a great event.
But there will be other cars besides Mustangs in there.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. So that's always a big draw. The pancake breakfast, my all-time favorite.
Yeah, the Kiwanis Club puts that on every year. It's always, again, a big event, a lot of community sponsors, community support. So, we encourage everybody to come out early, just make a whole day of it. Come get your pancakes and then go out and stake out your parade spot. And then from there, make your way over to Town Center.
Now, what people don't understand is this parade is one of the biggest parades that Oklahoma has. It's massive.
Yeah, it'll run pretty much the entire length, the Highway 152, the main street down there through Mustang. So, we'll have everybody from, our dignitaries and local elected officials to our school groups and things like that, to a lot of just local and even regional businesses that promoting through there. So, yeah, it's always a lot of fun. We do encourage people to get there early because that parade route does fill up. So you'll have to find, parking on the side streets and come scope out your spot on 152.
Do you know how many participants you're going to have in the parade this year? I know last year it was huge. Like, it just never seemed to stop.
We're usually 90 to 110 entries.
That's insane.
It gets crazy. The Shriners are there every year.
Yep, and they put on a heck of a show.
They do. It's a lot of fun for them. That's one entry, considered one entry, but they might have 20 just individual groups within the Shriners.
Zipping around on their little bicycles and stuff. Well, again, that's the Western Days. The theme this time around is red, white, and boots. I really dig that. September 11th and 12th. It's easy to remember because it happens every single year, the weekend after Labor Day weekend. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. Can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We appreciate you having us.
You bet. Thank you.
You guys take care. We still have a bunch more we want to talk about this morning. Election Day is over. We now know who the next likely governor of Oklahoma will be. We'll tell you who won this razor-thin runoff. Plus, Republican voters also chose their candidates for the next superintendent of public education. We'll have more on that. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
I'm John Summers. Senator Darlene Graham's the winner of the Republican Senate primary runoff in South Carolina. Here's Tammy Trujillo.
The President Trump-backed Graham defeated Congressman Ralph Norman. She'll face Democrat Annie Andrews in November.
Newly released polling from the Texas Politics Project shows in the race for governor, Greg Abbott's up just 5 points over his Democratic opponent. Country music legend Dolly Parton died at the age of 80 after a brief battle with cancer. That's according to a statement from her family. A new law is in effect across New York restricting local police agencies from cooperating with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Iran's economic D-Day arrived, according to the White House. China says the latest U.S. sanctions on Iran will further intensify tensions between the U.S. and the Islamic Republic. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. After a car wreck, most people have never been through the process before, and the insurance company knows that. Here's what usually happens. The insurance adjuster calls quickly, sounds friendly, and asks for a recorded statement, and sometimes even offers a quick settlement before you know how hurt you really are. Remember this. The insurance company's job is to close the claim for as little money as possible. That's how they make money. What many people don't realize is that medical bills, future treatment, lost wages, pain and suffering, and permanent injuries are all part of the claim, not just repairing the car. The biggest mistake people make is settling too early before they know the full extent of their injuries. If you've been in an automobile accident, at least find out your rights before you sign anything. If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9. And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Police in Bartlesville are investigating the death of a 2-year-old child. Emergency crews responded Tuesday morning to a home on North Fenway Avenue after receiving a report of a child who wasn't breathing. The child was found deceased at the scene, with the medical examiner determining the cause and manner of death at a date to be determined. The investigation remains ongoing, and no further details have currently been made public. More than 120 first responders from around the world are in Oklahoma City this week for the Swift Water Rescue Conference at Riversport OKC, training in flood and swift water rescue techniques using realistic emergency scenarios. The exercises are designed to prepare crews for life-saving operations during severe weather and flooding events. Training will continue throughout the remainder of the week. Elsewhere, construction is underway on a major housing and retail development near Scissortail Park in downtown Oklahoma City. A project is set to transform a former scrapyard into apartments, restaurants, and retail space. Phase 1 will include 52 apartment units and more than 11,000 square feet of commercial space. Additional buildings are planned as work continues ahead of the 2028 Olympics. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
There's a lot of noise out there, especially when it comes to Medicare. Plans, options, fine print, it's enough to make anyone second guess. That's where Health 65 comes in. We simplify Medicare, explain your options clearly, and we help choose a plan that makes sense for your life, not someone else's. No guesswork, no confusion, just real answers from real people right here in Edmond. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65. Call us or visit us online at health65.com. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Hi, this is Dylan Buckingham. As a parent of two boys who have faced life-threatening health challenges, our family knows when your child is sick, everything changes. Suddenly, nothing matters more than finding hope. For our family, that hope came through the care and support made possible by the Children's Health Foundation. They're advancing research, improving treatment, and standing beside families all across Oklahoma. Because every child deserves hope, healing, and a healthy future. Join us at chfkids.com.
Red, White, and Boots, Mustang Western Days 2026, September 11th and 12th. With events and activities for all ages, kids can enjoy the Stampede Fun Run, Parade, Pet Show, Best Dressed Cowboy and Cowgirl Contest, Art Show, games and activities at Wild Horse Park. New this year, the Jelly Ball. Also, the Mustang Roundup Club IPRA Rodeo on both nights on the 11th and 12th, 8 o'clock. And more with the 5K Fun Run, Car Show, Chuck Wagon Roundup, Vendor Booth, Chili Cook-Off, plus live entertainment at Wild Horse Park. It's a weekend of good family entertainment. For more information, visit MustangWesternDays.com.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will bring a mix of clouds and sun with temperatures reaching a high of 90. Tonight, expect partly cloudy skies and humidity with a low of 72. Tomorrow will be less humid with intervals of sunshine and clouds and a high of 94. Moving on to Friday, anticipate mostly sunny skies and very warm weather with a high of 96. By Saturday, it will be hot and breezy with plenty of sunshine and a high of 99. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillback.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Wednesday, August 26th, 76 degrees outside under mostly sunny skies at 7:36. Oh, wait, there's the
hello. I only know 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why.
I don't know why. Yeah, I get it. Hey, let's check out those Freedom First News headlines now on Freedom 96.9. Well, Mike Massey has won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma governor, narrowly defeating Attorney General Gettner Drummond with a 50.3% of the vote. About 2,000 votes separated the two candidates in Tuesday's runoff. Massey, backed by President Donald Trump, celebrated with supporters in his hometown of Tulsa and credited his faith, voters, and campaign team for the win. He says he won't forget his campaign promises.
After enjoying this night of celebration, however, we will move on to the general election in November. I will keep talking about my plan to create more growth and opportunity for our kids and our grandkids by making Oklahoma a no-income tax state and abolishing property taxes, seniors and veterans, launching a massive statewide literacy program so our students read at grade level, and securing the land of Oklahoma for the people of Oklahoma by chasing the Chinese money and the Mexican cartels out of here.
Massey said three things will guide his decision as governor: the Bible, the Constitution, and can we afford it? Massey now moves on to November, where he'll face Democrat Cindy Munson and three independent candidates. Robert Franklin has won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma State Superintendent, defeating James Taylor in Tuesday's runoff. Franklin, a longtime Tulsa Technology Center administrator, held a sizable lead throughout much of the night. The race drew attention because of former Superintendent Ryan Walter's controversial tenure and Taylor's support for many of his policies. Franklin has also faced criticism from some conservatives, including over his support for diversity, equity, and inclusion as biblical principles. Franklin now faces Democrat Jannetty Marshall in November 3rd's general election to determine Oklahoma's next state superintendent. Oklahoma voters have approved State Question 846, placing the state's voter ID requirement in the Oklahoma Constitution. Nearly 55% voted in favor, according to unofficial results. The measure does not change which forms of identification voters can use. Current law requires an ID with name matching the voter registry, a photo, and an expiration date, unless it's a military ID, and it must be issued by the United States government, Oklahoma, or a tribal government. Supporters say the measure strengthens Oklahoma's voter ID rules, while critics argue that it was unnecessary because the state already has secure elections. Because it's now part of the Constitution, changing the requirement would require another statewide vote. Oklahoma voters have rejected State Question 844, which would have given lawmakers more control over how governments and schools are reimbursed for property taxes lost through tax breaks for new manufacturing and research facilities. Nearly 3 out of 4 voters opposed the measure. Supporters said the current system is outdated and costly, forcing lawmakers to cover reimbursement shortfalls with state spending. Education groups warned the change could put school funding at risk, particularly in communities with major manufacturing or data center projects. The issue is expected to return when lawmakers begin the 2027 legislative session come February. State Representative Kevin West has won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma Labor Commissioner, defeating fellow State Representative John Pfeiffer with more than 58% of the vote. West now advances to the November 3rd general election, where he'll face Democrat Kevin Dawson and Libertarian Mike Hall. The winner will succeed term-limited Labor Commissioner Leslie Osborne and oversee workplace safety, wage disputes, and occupational licensing. West has focused his campaign on expanding vocational education, improving workplace safety, and creating more training opportunities for Oklahoma workers. Well, Bob Sullivan won the Republican nomination for Oklahoma Insurance Commissioner, defeating Marty Quinn by more than 35,000 votes, according to unofficial results. Sullivan now faces Democrat Craig McIntyre in the November 3rd general election. The winner will succeed Republican Glenn Mulready, who is term limited. The race comes as Oklahoma homeowners face some of the nation's highest insurance premiums, with one recent report putting the average annual cost at more than $5,000. Sullivan, a third-generation insurance professional, has made lowering premiums and increasing price transparency key parts of his campaign. Oklahoma County Manager Jessica Clayton has won the Republican runoff for District 3 Commissioner, defeating Alex Warren with 63% of the vote. Clayton now faces Democrat Jennifer Mayo in the November 3rd general election. The race focused heavily on proposed county taxes and helping finish the new jail campus. Clayton supports a 0.4 cent sales tax, while Warren opposed it. If approved, the tax would raise about $605 million over 25 years. District 3 includes Edmond, Deer Creek, Arcadia, Luther, and parts of Oklahoma City. Well, incumbent Jason Lowe has won the Democratic runoff for Oklahoma County Commissioner District 1, defeating Kayla Baker with 68.6% of the vote. Lowe will take the seat because no Republican is running in the general election. Lowe opposed a proposed county sales tax to help finish the new jail, while Baker supported it. Voters will decide on the tax on November 3rd. District 1 includes parts of Oklahoma County, along with Dell City, Midwest City, The Village, Jones, Spencer, and Nakoma Park, as well as other communities. Lowe says his priorities include roads, health care, mental health services, and public safety. Well, 76 degrees and mostly sunny at 7:42. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Oklahoma families seeking SNAP benefits are facing longer lines and delays as new federal requirements put pressure on the state's DHS. Starting in October of 2027, states with high SNAP error rates could face financial penalties. Oklahoma's error rate is currently at about 11%, and State Auditor Cindy Byrd says that could cost the state nearly $235 million if it's not reduced below 6%. Hunger Free Oklahoma says added paperwork and verification requirements are creating a backlog, with about 140,000 people losing SNAP benefits. DHS says it's adding overtime and working to process applications more accurately. A program helping homeless people in Norman earn money and connect with housing and other services has ended because of a lack of funding. A Better Way Opportunity Knocks, launched back in last summer as a partnership between the City of Norman and Mental Health Association of Oklahoma. Participants were paid $65 per day for cleanup work while receiving help from case managers. The program served more than 230 people, helping some find jobs, housing, and treatment. It was funded through opioid settlement money, but the city was not awarded the grant to continue it. Officials say they're exploring other funding options. Governor Kevin Stitt has created a new Oklahoma Beef Industry Advisory Council following President Donald Trump's announcement of plans to sell imported beef at lower prices. The council, chaired by Agriculture Secretary Blaine Arthur, will make recommendations aimed at protecting Oklahoma's cattle producers and strengthening the state's beef market. Stitt says Washington should focus on free market solutions rather than undercutting American ranchers. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association supports the move. Oklahoma is home to nearly 5 million cattle and calves, including about 2 million beef cows, making agriculture a major part of the state's economy. Two people are hospitalized after a police pursuit ended in a crash on Tuesday morning in northwest Oklahoma City. Police say officers attempted to stop a vehicle near Northwest 3rd in North Kentucky, but the driver took off, leading to a chase. The vehicle eventually crashed near Northwest 10th and North Blackwelder. Oklahoma City firefighters had to extricate both people from the wreckage. Police say both occupants were taken into custody and transported to a hospital for treatment. Their conditions are unknown, and police have not yet released their names. A 29-year-old Chickasha man has been sentenced to 40 years in federal prison for sexually exploiting children and possessing child pornography. The U.S. Attorney's Office says Brandon Scott Massey targeted multiple young victims over several years using Facebook while posing as a teenage boy to solicit sexually explicit images. Investigators say Massey joined groups intended for teenagers and coerced at least five minors into sending him images and videos. Massey pleaded guilty back in January. A federal judge sentenced him to 480 months in prison, followed by a lifetime of supervised release. A Moore Home daycare worker is facing three counts of child abuse involving infants in her care. The Cleveland County DA's office says Samantha Pearson, also known as Samantha Bailey, was arrested after investigators reviewed surveillance video. According to a probable cause affidavit, the video allegedly shows Pearson physically mistreating infants while they were in her care. Pearson is currently being held on $300,000 bond. The allegations have not yet been proven in court. Confidential student records are still sitting inside a vacant Oklahoma City charter school nearly 2 months after it closed. Proud to partner Leadership Academy shut down on July 1st after the statewide charter school board canceled its charter over financial, operational, and academic concerns. The school's roughly 100 students have graduated or transferred, but paper copies of transcripts, vaccination records, and enrollment documents remain locked inside the former building. State officials say they've repeatedly asked the school's transition team to turn over the records, while school officials say the state needs to work with the landlord to get inside. Meanwhile, the landlord says nearly $40,000 in rent is still owed. Well, Tara Harden with the Oklahoma Department of Securities is at the International Association of Financial Crime Investigators Conference in Nashville this morning. Coming up right after the break, we'll talk with her about some of the new scams that she's learning about in this week's Grift Busters. It's 76 degrees and mostly sunny at 746. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit ServiceProOKC.com. A couple of construction issues to be aware of. May and Northwest Expressway eastbound, I-44 at Klassen and I-44 at Southwest 74th on the Kilpatrick-Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Please listen to me carefully. It is the absolute best time to buy a new Ford truck. Now Advance Country Ford in Guthrie. Get financing terms you can't beat, like your choice of 2.9% APR for 72 months, plus $1,000 toward your down payment, plus 2-year premium maintenance, or 0% APR for 36 months, plus zero payments up to 90 days, plus $1,000 toward your down payment, plus 2-year premium maintenance. And Advance Country Ford in Guthrie, you'll get the lowest price on your new Ford truck. Vance Country Ford, only 10 minutes north of Edmond on I-35, exit 153. Vance Auto Group, also in Woodward and in Miami. It's the Ford Summer Sales Event. Go to VanceAutoGroup.com to learn more.
Offers are through Ford Credit Financing with approved credit.
John Vance Auto Group.
Certified Healthy Oklahoma is a free, voluntary, statewide certification for businesses, communities, and schools that are working to improve the health of Oklahomans. Participants create healthier environments through policies and evidence-based practices and programs that improve nutrition, increase movement, manage stress, and create tobacco-free environments. If you believe your business, community, or school is making these efforts, visit oklahoma.gov/certifiedhealthy for more information.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Even though it was just a couple of years ago, it shows you how the country where we're at right now. Now people understand that criminals got to go to prison. And that's why that mayor over in San Francisco has been so effective. That's why the mayor in D.C. working with the president has been so effective. That's why crime is going down in most places across the country. But then if you listen to Abdul El-Sayed, his past comments are impossible to justify.
The Brian Kilmeade Show. Weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
And a good morning to you. It's Wednesday, August 26th, 2026. 76 degrees outside under mostly sunny skies. Looks like we're finally going to get away from some of the heat. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine today with a high of 90 degrees. Tonight, we'll see mostly cloudy skies. It's going to be humid, too, with a low of 72. On Thursday, a mix of clouds and sun with a high of 94. Then on Friday, look for mostly sunny skies. It'll be a little bit windy, too. High of 96 degrees. Again, it's 76 degrees and mostly sunny at 751. Tara Harden with the Oklahoma Department of Securities is in Nashville, Tennessee this morning, honky-tonk town, for the International Association of Financial Crime Investigators Conference. She's joining us live in this week's Grift Busters. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning. Yes, Music City.
Yeah. With Dolly Parton's passing, what's it been like there for the past, you've been there for the past few days. What's it been like there?
I have been, yes, and there are just tributes everywhere. We were down in the entertainment district for a little while last night, and all of the screens out on the street were playing tributes, and it was wonderful.
That's really
cool.
They
love her here. Yes, they do love her.
That's really cool. So you're at the Financial Crime Investigators Conference. Tell me, first of all, what exactly is that?
So it is a conference that happens every year where fraud investigators, financial crimes investigators, come together from all over the world to discuss latest trends, latest fraud fighting efforts, what we're seeing in different areas, because as we know in Oklahoma, in the middle of the country, what happens on our coasts eventually makes it to us. And so it's just a great opportunity to learn, to network. And, you know, for the financial crimes investigators, when they have a case that crosses into other areas, to have those contacts that you can call somebody at the big credit card companies or the IT companies, and you can talk to somebody that you've actually met.
And these crimes have changed dramatically over the years, and keeping up with it is pretty much a full-time job. Gone are the days where you're getting that email that says that I'm a prince in Lithuania and I've got $10 million I'm trying to get out of the country, and if you just send me $500, I'll share that $10 million. Those days are gone. It's become extremely sophisticated now, especially with the use of artificial intelligence. Talk to me a bit about that and the things they're talking about at the conference this year.
So, yes, they are. AI has been a huge topic. AI's use in fraud has been a huge topic. And, in fact, it's going to be our general session this morning, a discussion about it, because the AI advancements have allowed the fraud to not only advance rapidly, but the scope of their contacts, of the criminals' contacts with people, expands rapidly. You know, where is it used to take one criminal talking to one person, now that one criminal with AI agents can talk to 50 all simultaneously. And they can do mass phishing schemes, you know, which are those emails or those texts or those phone calls that look like they're from that prince, right? But now they're so sophisticated, they look like they're coming from your telephone carrier, or they look like they're coming from Apple, and all the branding is correct, all the verbiage is correct, there's no spelling errors. I mean, they're just very sophisticated now.
And with these scams, oftentimes it's a numbers game. They send out it's basically a phishing scam. They cast a very, very wide net, and they see just how much they can bring in.
Yes, Absolutely. And with the AI agents, additionally, they're able to do the research on the person very, very quickly. So particularly things like CEOs or board members, you know, our information is out there. Whether you're a high-powered professional or not, our information is out there. And so those AI agents can scan online platforms very rapidly and to determine your potential worth and are they going to then invest the time in you to get some money? Are they going to try to squeeze you for $100,000 or are they going to try to squeeze you for $100,000?
Now, the good thing is it's not just the bad guys who are using AI and using technology. It's our financial crime investigators that are also using that very same technology to try to catch the bad guys.
That is absolutely right. Now, we know from your and I's both experience in law enforcement that law enforcement is inherently a half a step behind because we can't respond to something that hasn't happened, right? So even in the AI world, AI fighting AI has that same type of concept behind it. They have to know there's a problem before they can fight the problem. So we are making rapid advancements, though.
As is always the case, and as you mentioned, you and I both work in law enforcement. You were a deputy sheriff for many, many years before you left to take a state job. You're still working as a reserve with the sheriff's office. I'm a deputy with the sheriff's office also in Oklahoma County. That's how you and I both met. But we both know that when it comes to crimes like this, the best offense is really a good defense.
Yes. And one of the things, you know, about we've got law enforcement from all over the world here at this conference because they're learning, because they're trying to keep up their knowledge. And it's the same for our citizens today. You are absolutely the absolute best security system there is out there, but you've got to stay up with it because the criminals are always improving their game.
So you've done this for many, many years now. You probably know more about these scams than anybody that I've ever met before. What are you learning at this conference? What have you seen that said that made you say, wow?
The thing that made me say wow was the criminal syndicates popping up around criminal activity. In other words, there are now criminal organizations selling to criminal organizations services like the AI, the pre-programmed AI agents to do the phishing calls. So there's all these other syndicates that are popping up around the scam world that are just other layers in the criminal element. And tomorrow we're going to get to hear a general session about you solved the crime or you solved the case. But did you solve the crime? So looking beyond the immediate case that we have in front of us and looking to the big national or international players that may be in this particular crime, involved in this crime that you're seeing in front of you.
That's interesting because, like with any good business, you have other businesses that you work with that supply you with certain information. It's the very same with these crime syndicates.
It is. It is the exact same thing. And the magnitude with which they're popping up is just, that was what was mind-blowing to me when I heard the scalability.
What's also interesting is the types of people who are doing the scamming. And we oftentimes don't think about it. We think about the money that I've lost. I lost $14,000. I lost $30,000. Name the figure. But what we're not thinking about is where that money goes. Oftentimes it goes to the cartels. It goes to terrorist organizations. It goes to people who really want to do us harm.
Yes, that's 100% true. And a lot of it is going either to or through China. They are laundering a ton of money currently. And you are right, the cartels are heavily involved in that. And I've said for several years now that the more pressure we put on the drugs, and we should, rightfully so, we should, but the cartels aren't just going to go quietly and hold their hands up and go, yeah, well, it was a good run, you know, you got us now. They're moving into this fraud world, and because they're going to keep making their money. So yes, there's a lot of money behind it. There is a lot of knowledge, if you will, about criminal activity and how to launder money that is all mixing together in this.
Yes, it is. So, Tara Harden, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to having you on next week for Griftbusters. Find out exactly what you learned. Coming up on Freedom 96.9, Brian Kilmeade at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson at 11, then we'll have Lee Matthews with a drive at 4.